He's originally from the Ukraine. This handsome fucker could probably build a rocket ship or an aeroplane. This clever man really knows his shit. Just ask him, is it a red or orange M? He'll tell you. It's he really knows his shite. Sorry. There's an E at the end of it. Really knows his shite. Just ask him, is it a red M or an orange M? He'll tell you. It's white. Remember the day I hurt my toe. Oh, the fucking pain. That rhymes with Ukraine. Alex, always a pleasure having you, knowing you, seeing you. Take as long as you need, buddy. And yeah, great pal. I'm going to try to learn to say thanks in Russian by the end of your speak. Go ahead, my friend. Oh, we're recording today, so if everyone could stay on mute, that'd be great too. And yeah, as long as you need, Alex. Thank you, sir.
All right, Mark, thank you. If I appear incoherent, that's because I'm speechless after that limerick. I might put it on my dating profile and see how things go, and then let you know the results, maybe. My name is Alex. I'm an alcoholic. Good to be here. So I guess my first exposure to alcoholism, or I guess drinking, in my life was my grand uncle. Earlier in his life, he was a chief engineer at a factory making rocket engines back in East Europe. I think that's what Limerick was referring to. But also he was an absolutely dysfunctional drunk. And by the time I had known him, he was retired, or rather forced into retirement, basically had no money and was trying to supplement his drinking habits by fixing electronic junk in exchange for a couple of bottles of beer or small payment. So if, let's say, 10 years ago, somebody asked me, hey, Alex, what's an alcoholic? I would refer to that image. Somebody who, basically resigned from most of his life and is just focusing on ways to supplement the habit. He died when I was about 7 or 8, and when they did an autopsy on him, I discovered, he died of the alcohol-related illnesses, but he must have been in quite a bit of pain for quite a number of years. The fact he never shared with anybody, because again, in my mind, he just, agreed to accept his destiny. And again, before... I guess I started on my own journey with alcohol. That was my image of an alcoholic, somebody who resigns their life to that thing. It took me going to rehab to sober up. And in there, somebody asked me, so Alex, what was the thing which set you on the path of addiction? And at the time, I made up some bullshit answer with, some specific incident, but looking back, I think it was just inability to make meaningful connections, or feeling of social anxiety or loneliness, which were things I wanted to escape. Initially, my sober date is August 13th, 2018, and my anti-sober date is February 13th, 2012. The day before Valentine's in 2012, I was so riddled with anxiety and just being miserable that I grabbed a bottle of wine and drank half of it in the evening and felt great the next day. It was like a magic potion has made me into a different person, and I felt it was the solution to my problems. I think for quite some time prior to that, I had difficulty making connections with people or forming relationships or just, doing normal things, I guess, people in their teens are supposed to do. I'm not referring to drugs and alcohol, because I was too terrified of people to, I guess, engage in that kind of thing. So I think I spent my late teens quite isolated socially. And then with time, I just felt that I guess I was missing out on all the experiences people are supposed to have in their lives. And as that pile of experiences I've been missing out on was growing, I felt that I'm falling behind more and more, and at some point it was just impossible to catch up. So basically I told myself, well, I will not be normal, might as well accept that. And then once I discovered alcohol as a magic potion, I thought that it takes away those problems. But looking back, it's not that I became more social when I was intoxicated. Quite the opposite. Looking back, I think I definitely, did take away my feeling of social anxiety and things like that. But that's because I became even more withdrawn from people. I quite literally, within a few months of, I guess, that first day, became a daily drinker and lost all interest in people. I was still trying to take my school and, I guess, future career seriously, but I was absolutely disinterested in, I guess, people because I knew that, well, it's not going to work out anyways. At some point, I actually went for about 2 months without speaking to another person, save for the attendant at the liquor store and grocery store. And at that point in time, I thought, well, great. I did not like people anyways. I had no way to make connections with them anyways. This way, it's even better. But of course, it's quickly enough started to take toll on my I guess school as well. Got kicked out from university. Not because of drinking. Actually, the semester which I failed miserably, I was sober because I recognized some of the negative health effects I was having, and I told myself, well, I should stop that. And I did for a few months. However, it did not fix the fact that, well, I basically had no way to function with people around me. And I was so demoralized and again withdrawn from the world in general that, well, yeah, I was sober, but also I still couldn't function. And I got kicked out from university, which at that point was basically my goal to go in life. Like, okay, Alex, what do you want to do in life? Well, I want to study and be great. And then that did not happen. After that did not happen, I looked at the situation, and to me it was evident that, well, my life was actually better when I was drinking, because while I was drinking, I was able to somewhat keep up with my life and commitments, at least on the surface. And when I attempted to quit, I told myself, well, that's when my life actually fell apart. And well, I did the only reasonable thing I could do at the time, and I went back out. And for a number of years, it just continued like that. I drank every night, and sometimes in the morning, and sometimes all day. Interestingly enough, I lived with my parents with a fairly small apartment for most of the time, and they had no idea because I guess my autopilot was pretty believable. And also, I guess me being a smart bastard, I had a lot of precautions to keep my secrets and keep out the appearances. I was quite good at that for a while. But also just being emotionally withdrawn kind of helped with that as well. I'm sure my old folks knew that something is up with me and I am not, right in some way, but they could never figure out what it was. They could never figure out that I was basically never sober in those years. And then I guess some more negative health effects set in, and I decided to try to quit again. Besides, I think even at that point, I recognized that it is my barrier to having a normal, meaningful life. I haven't been in a relationship for as long as I've been in active addiction, for example, because it was unthinkable to me to have to be around another person for extended period of time. Ultimately, like, I would rather drink than do anything else. So I never really did a serious, attempts at dating, for example. You know, if things happened, great, but it's not like it was a priority. Drinking was a priority above everything else. Okay, I decided to sober up, and keep in mind at that point, nobody around me knew that I had a problem because I was secretive about that, and I decided to be secretive about sobering up as well. After all, I got myself into a mess, and I have to pull myself out on my own. At least that's what I thought at the time. I happened to be at a coffee shop right around the time, and I've overheard conversation at the next table. Our conversation was as follows. Two women were talking. One of them was telling her friend about her boyfriend, I think. And the boyfriend was an alcoholic, and he was on the waiting list for a liver transplant. He did not show any signs of slowing down, and it basically seemed like, well, he's going to drop dead before anything happens. And I'm sitting there 2 meters away from them, experiencing mild withdrawal symptoms, and thinking that, well, that will be me. If I don't do something, that will be me. I was never religious in any way, shape, or form, but I think this is the kind of thing people sometimes tend to write off as the divine intervention. And I guess that's jolt of fear was enough to get myself to taper off in the next couple of months, and by New Year, I was sober, or at least abstinent, or at least dry. It was the only thing I attempted to change in my life at that point. Again, no friends, friendships, nothing like that, but I was sober and miserable. And because I guess I haven't actually changed anything besides drinking, my life was still messed up, and my vision of sobriety at that point was, well, I should binge on energy drinks and coffee until I guess I've been up for 24 hours. Then I will pass out from exhaustion. Then I will pass out from exhaustion. Then I will wake up, and I will repeat the cycle. Basically, I wasn't capable of just being myself. I still needed to have some kind of, chemical destruction, because being in my own skin just felt miserable and unbearable. Unsurprising, after a few months of that misery, I told myself that, well, I have already quit, and it wasn't so bad, and if I need to, I can do it again. So now I should do the only sensible thing and start drinking again, because, well, clearly my life was actually more enjoyable with the bottle in my hand. And after all, I have already quit once. If I need to, I can do it again, blah, blah, blah. For the next year and a half or so, I was in the lineup in the liquor store every night, because, it turns out that the next time quitting would be more difficult. I think what happened was, because I already, I guess, experienced quitting in quotes once, I now had the perpetual excuse of, well, I could do it again, but later, and later, and later, and later, and for quite some time afterwards, I was in the grip of addiction, which was more severe than ever. But I had this thing I could repeat to myself that, well, I can do it later. I know I can do it because I have already done it. And it's not that I haven't tried to quit on my own. After that, I definitely had that goal many, many times. It's just that I couldn't repeat the same steps when I quit the previous time. I essentially tapered myself off over the course of a few months, and then went dry. When I tried repeating the same approach again, with gradual reduction of the dose and the daily intake, I couldn't push myself beyond certain amounts. Let's put it this way. Basically, every time a holiday would come and I knew that the stores would be closed, I would have to overstock because I was so horrified of running out of booze in my house that I would buy more than I would need for those 3 days, and then I would drink all of it. And then whatever progress I had made on cutting back would be gone out the window because, well, I was back at my previous stage. And that continued for, I guess, many, many months. Throughout those months, I told myself that, hey, I actually want to quit. I just can't. At that point, I knew I couldn't. It was absolutely exhausting, especially the parts where I was trying to keep it secret and keep up the appearances of being a normal person. Somehow, with all that happening in the background, I managed to finish school and get myself into a career. I was actually a model employee for a while. Haven't taken a single sick day in a number of years. Of course, I was pretty damn sick every day, but I was still priding myself on, I guess, keeping up the appearances. Towards the end, basically, I would wake up at 6 in the morning, drink, because, well, that's what you do at 6 in the morning. Then drag myself to work, then pass out on the park bench on my way to work, wake up in the middle of the day, actually go to work and make some kind of excuse as to why I was absent. Even with that, I was still pretty damn good at what I was doing, even though, the rest of my life was absolutely dysfunctional. At the end, one of my friends at work called me up, called me out for being intoxicated at 10 in the morning, and I suffered a bit of a emotional breakdown as a result. Called up rehab, told them, well, I want to come in, and then I went to my manager's office and told him, well, I have a bit of an addiction problem, and I need 2 months off starting Monday to go and fix myself up. If that seems irrational, I agree. And I guess it's a demonstration of how insane I was. Right? So, one of the steps tells you about restoring you to sanity. Well, yeah, I was definitely insane at that point. And also, that's when I came out to my parents and a few friends that hey, I have a bit of an addiction problem, and actually had for a number of years now. Rehab was my first exposure to AA and 12-step program. It was a traditional AA in there. I think the first meeting was about a week into my stay in there. And it was a traditional meeting. So I'm sitting there in a chair. They read the steps, they read the, you know, the God part. And I'm thinking to myself, well, it is a cult. They will now bring out a goat, sacrifice the goat, I don't know, bathe in goat's blood, and somehow that is supposed to keep me sober. At that point, I was so desperate and miserable that it seemed like a totally great and excellent way to go about it. I had no desire to convert into any kind of faith, but well, if being there is what keeps other people sober, then so be it, damn it. Luckily, there was also a secular AA meeting as part of the regimen in the rehab, and it was much more palatable. I think what actually helped me in the weeks that I've stayed there was that I was forced to come out of the closet and actually talk about the way I was, rather than having to keep up appearances. And B, it was a total switch from my normal life. And there they take away your phone. Basically, you cannot leave. It's not ex it's pretty far from prison, but you know, it's definitely a somewhat confining experience. Let's put it this way. And also, I felt that I just have to make it work. I felt that I was at the end of my life, at the end of my line, and if not this, then I don't know what. I don't know what I should do. So yeah, I got out of there. I ended up in a relationship with a woman I met in the rehab, which is a very ill-advised thing to do. But I think for me it was a step in the right direction, because one, I was definitely very much starved for human contact or intimacy. And two, well, she was insane, and that codependent mess of a relationship was a good distraction. I definitely did not want to drink when I was around her insanity. It's like my insanity was, I guess, passed on to her, for the lack of a better word. Again, not something I would recommend people do, but to a degree, it helped me. That was actually my first year of sobriety. My first year of sobriety was marked by that toxic codependent relationship. At that time, I did not really go to meetings much, because, well, one, I did not have energy. Two, I did not want any more alcoholics in my life, as my significant other was in the middle of active addiction, which again definitely took away my desire to drink, because I did not want to be like her in any way, shape, or form. So after a year of that, I ditched her, and my desire to go to meetings has come back, because at that point, again, I had this massive hole or gap when it came to social interactions or connections or having other people in my life. So I started to go to a lot of secular meetings here in Toronto. For various historical reasons, Toronto is a very rich place when it comes to secular meetings. And with Joe and others. So yeah, when it comes to 12 steps, I don't really practice them as 12 steps. If I had to summarize the program in my own words, I would say it's about achieving inner peace, having life free of resentments, fears, and guilt, and having some kind of self-actualization. And on that level, yeah, it definitely helped. I guess the closest thing I did to step 4 and 5, I actually did reach out to a couple of friends whom I have ghosted in the middle of my addiction. Well, frankly, because they got in the way of my drinking. And I did a very thorough job at ghosting them. They literally thought I was dead because I have deactivated my Facebook and cell phone number, and well, they couldn't get hold of me. So I made a point of reaching out to them and, well, essentially telling them, hey, here's what happened. Sorry. If you want, we can talk. If not, I understand. And it was a very cathartic experience, actually. Out of the three of them, one gave me a cold shoulder, basically said, well, you were clearly not well, so no offense taken, but now go away. With one of them, we met up and talked for a couple of evenings, and then realized that, well, both of us have moved on, and there's not much to talk about, really. So like no bad feelings, but also no real connection. And the third one, well, the friendship got magically rekindled, and we talk again. And I think it's very, I guess, good demonstration of like one of each possibility. So yeah, and I think that's sort of brought me to 2020 with the pandemic and all of that. At the start, I was terrified of the pandemic because I knew I would miss, well, whatever connections I started to make in the rooms. Zoom was all right, but not nearly as good as face-to-face meetings. And then with time, I started to, I guess, build new connections with people on the screen. My friend and I started a young people's secular meeting on Zoom here in Toronto. Because as much as we all enjoy, I guess, these secular meetings, for me, sometimes it's a little bit difficult to relate to somebody who is on their third marriage and complains about their grandkids. Nothing against that. It's just not my life, not my life experience. And I think what tends to help me in these meetings is being able to relate to other people. Right. So the active component of AA is, people with similar experiences talking to each other. Right. A couple of people I know swear by the opposite of addiction is connection mantra, and I can definitely relate to that. And what I have realized is it does not even need to be a particularly healthy or good connection. It's great if it is, but a connection is better than no connection at all. However it happens to be. Well, I think I've been rambling enough. It's good to be here.